One, two, three.
Dad Without a Dad production.
Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Dad Without a Dad podcast. My name is Anne Griffiths. I'm doing the intro this week. That's different, fun. You can follow me at Gaming Goodness on Twitter. This is a podcast by dads, without dads growing up. And with me, as always, is Jose. Jose, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm actually looking at Bluey, see if she's going to let us do a podcast. So you guys were listening. Just got a dog. We got a dog. And she's sleeping right now. So we'll see how that goes. And you guys could follow me on Instagram at Mr. Jose de la Roca. That is at Mr. Jose de la Roca. And today we're going to be talking about racing. So Will already turned it off. Don't worry about it. It's at the end. We're also going to be talking about relationships and vacations, and Andy has something to talk about too, because he has two kids at the moment. And I was telling my girl
at the moment, what's gonna happen?
I don't know. It seems like you guys like that thing, so maybe, you know, you guys are going pop one soon. You guys are still young, so could happen, you know. And you have a big house with how many rooms do you have? I think, is that the target? If you have another room available, you're going to pop another one?
So I've already lost my office. So there are, my PC is currently in the bedroom, which is like a massive office, like no. So yeah, we're at capacity, sir. No more room at the inn. But yeah, I think it's what, we've got enough kids to fill every room. So that's good. And an office. So two's a good number. Comfortable with two. My daughter is like, what time we're recording this, she's like, god, how old is she? It's like three and 2 weeks or something. 3 and 3 weeks, yeah, that's it. 3 months and 3 weeks. So she's like awakening and coming to being and starting to show personality and laughing at stuff and frowning at other stuff. So she's coming into her own, which is amazing. And my son, who is, God, how old is he? He's 3 months, 6 months, kind of. Who the hell keeps track of this stuff? It's hard. That's why I've got a Google Calendar. I haven't got a Google Calendar in front of me. And, like, it's amazing. They, watching them interact with each other, like, she is obsessed with my son, which is amazing. Like, obsessed with him in terms of, like, what he does. If he comes into the room, she immediately smiles. She giggles at him. She looks at what he's doing to try and figure stuff out. So, yeah. Two's a good number. Three would be difficult. Yeah. Want to keep it at two.
It's funny because I think I was doing the description of last podcast and I needed to copy a link. So I went back a little bit and then it realized what you were saying, how your wife, which, by the way, we're still looking for Andy 2.0, the one that remembers everything, but one day we'll get there. And then you were talking about in the podcast how you forgot your son's age and you did the description of two podcasts ago and you literally said your son was two when he was three. And it's funny because like your wife came back to you after I posted the podcast and said, you forgot your son's age. And then it dawned on me because I went back and I saw that because sometimes you do the podcast description because there's some words that I cannot spell. As you guys don't know, I'm an immigrant from Guatemala. I'm still trying to learn English, both speaking and Grammarly. And since Andy is the journalist and is the English native, he does it sometimes. So I think I just copy and paste it. And sometimes I do edit because, you know, it has to be certain words or like a certain amount of words. So I need to put a link or things like that. But yeah, I didn't even realize you messed up your own son's age and it's still there. So if anybody wants to go check it out, I think it's two podcasts ago where Andy said he had a 2-year-old son, which he doesn't. He has a 3-year-old son. And the way also another, you know, little tip for you, Andy, is that this podcast age is technically your son's age. So there you go.
I think it's I mean, obviously, I'm super tired a lot of the time. This is the stay at home dad curse thing. Is that my wife is working and I'm currently not, which means I cover, you know, during the week when it's a work day, I cover all the midnight feed stuff, in the middle of the night feeds, any murmurings and all that stuff. So I'm rocking on about probably 5 hours to 7 hours sleep a night at the moment, which, to be honest, is fine. Like, that's way better with my second than it was with my first. But yeah, and occasionally things slip out, like my 2-year-old son when he's three, or loads of different stuff that's just completely inappropriate. So yeah, recording the podcast is always good because it's basically just a filter on that stuff. And obviously that's kind of what we always wanted this podcast to be, right? We wanted it to be a little bit of a unedited stream of consciousness kind of window into our psyches a little bit, because obviously, you know, any dads that are listening to this out there, they're probably struggling a little bit too, like all parents struggle a little bit, and it's good to just, you know, take off the shackles and have a chat about that. Also talk about other shit as well, which we do all the time. So yeah.
Hey, so I don't know if in Britain is different, even though science and human nature, you know, that I've seen and know, every time the baby comes out, they come out kind of like weird looking in a way, right? And then they finally get their groove after like a month or two. They finally start looking like the way they're going to look. So does your daughter looks like you or your wife?
It's kind of a mixture of both, really. I mean, she does have red hair like my wife does, which is quite cool. It's like exactly the same shade. I mean, all that facial stuff is changing constantly all the time. The thing that people talk about whenever we take her out is, look at all that hair, because she's never lost her hair. She came up with a full head of hair. And I'm not just saying that to you, Jose. You know, I don't need to get jealous or anything, but like, yeah, she's got a full head of hair, which is amazing. And that's kind of the overriding thing. So I was saying to my wife that, you know, we should shave her to see what her like actual, in a jokey way, we should see what her actual like facial structure is, because I think the hair is so dominating for her. But yeah, she's amazing. She's really, really cute. She's really funny when she giggles. And yeah, it's just like, it's the stay-at-home dad thing's been tough at points, because I think, you know, you're kind of, I mean, for me, to speaking personally, you know, I've been hardwired to work from the age of like 18. So this mind shift of like, you don't have work anymore, your job is your kids, has definitely been different. And it has required me to kind of like change my thinking process a little bit. But yeah, it's just a joy to be around them all the time. Like, even when they're kicking off, even when my son's throwing a paddy, or even when she just like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, she won't sleep. Like, you know, it's still amazing. This is an amazing opportunity for me. Massively appreciate it. And it's been fun. It's been different, but it's been fun.
All right. So the question is that since you're the stay-at-home dad, and even though we live in the 21st century, whatever that is, there's still some things that, you know, state truth, where like if both parents are, you know, are working, there's a nanny, and the nanny takes the kid to the playground or to school. Yep. And so even though you are a stay-at-home dad and there's more like that now, it's pretty not that many. So my question to you is, are you the only dad at the playground?
Sometimes, especially in the week, we do classes as well with my daughter. Definitely, usually the only dad there. And it's quite funny when I am not the only dad there. I've met a few other stay-at-home dads as well, which has been amazing. And they're usually really, really nice. I think we all. Like, it, you know, it's like when we first started talking about having kids on here, like, everyone's kind of got the same problems. Like, it doesn't really care about what your background is or your mentality is. Like, there are certain home truths that every parent kind of has, right? And one of them is, if you're a dad, people are either going to assume that you are like an uncle. I've had that as well, which is really fucking weird. Not a dad. And the other thing is like everyone kind of looks at you like, you know, if the people that do, especially elderly women to a certain extent, they look at you like, oh, you're probably doing a shit job, but bless you for trying. I've definitely had that mentality a few times, or that look from a few people, or even just flat out, like one of our neighbors flat out just said, you know, I'm sure you'll get better at this stuff. You know, nobody gets it right the first time. That's great. That was lovely to hear.
The first time? They don't know you have another one or what?
Yeah, I don't know. She's a bit crazy. Okay. But basically, I took out my daughter and she saw how long it took for me to get the pram out of the car and get it all sorted up. And she was like, oh, how's everything going? How are you doing? And I was like, yeah, it's great. You know, getting used to it, sleep, blah, blah, blah. You know, you know, newborn stuff, you always talk about sleep, right? It's like the number one thing. And then they always say, oh, she's got so much hair. I'm like, yeah, she does. She's got so much hair. And then she was like, oh, you know, don't worry about getting things wrong. You'll get things wrong. You know, it's always, you'll get better at it over time. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that my son was at nursery, so she didn't know that I had a son at that point. Yeah, it's fine. It's all fine. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's super rewarding. It's super fun. But you just got to take the victories when they come up. And the victories are like, you know, got her to sleep okay. You know, my son ate what he needed to eat that day. And, you know, we go to the park and everything's fun and nobody has a paddy, or we end up going to a toy shop or a charity shop and you know, we can leave that place without having to buy anything. And my son's totally had a nice time and hasn't bought anything and hasn't had a paddy. So it's all things like that, really. Yeah.
So even though, well, you do look like you were, I mean, you are her dad. But for example, me, right? I used to get a lot of, are you babysitting? So my son looks just like my girl. Very pretty, light skin, and I'm bold, super brown, and tiny. So I always got the, are you babysitting? Have you ever got that?
I haven't. I try not to. This is going to sound really mean. I try not to engage with people. Just when I've got kids, because at like a park or whatever, unless I know them or my son knows them or whatever, because it's just, I find it like not stressful, but there is like a kind of a tension. Of course, my son always falls over and hurts himself like all the time. So I'm just constantly watching him really and just making sure he's okay or making sure he's having fun. And like there's this thing, not to bring it back to Bluey again, but you know, we talked about Bluey last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how the dad is awesome. And one of the reasons why the dad is awesome is he always looks to add more fun. So even if the kid's having fun, he still looks to add more fun and engage and stuff like that. So even when I take him to the park, I'm not just like chilling out, you know, gassing or on my phone or something. I'm usually like interacting with him as well. So I haven't had anyone go, you know, about the babysitting thing or whatever. I have no doubt that totally happens though. Or like, you know, a friend of mine was telling me how he had once, it's your turn to have the kids this weekend. That was quite an interesting one. Like assuming that he'd split up from his wife just completely for no reason whatsoever. I think
that's what happened because we have Louie, my girl stays here, and then I had to take my son to take out the energy at the park.
Yeah.
So I'm sure every time they see my son and I at the park, they always think like, okay, yeah, it's probably his day. Especially because the way I look, right? Like Latino, they're probably thinking, okay, it's probably, he went to pick him up and he's having like 2 hours of dad time and that's it. There you go.
It's weird that though, isn't it? Like there shouldn't be that gender element to it. I mean, I agree with you. Like we're in the 21st century now, man. Like that shouldn't be a thing anymore. I think we're getting there. And I think our generation, you know, we're young enough that it's okay. But I think that the prejudices are still there a little bit for the older generation. But they'll die out soon, so it's not a problem.
Let me tell you about Peanut Crunch. These baked peanut puffs are so delicious, my son and I cannot stop eating them. Seriously, we cannot stop. Peanut Crunch are a delicious and healthy peanut treat. They have the power of vegan peanut protein, rice, beans, and a wonderful crunch that keeps active kids and adults on the go. I came across Peanut Crunch when I was watching Shark Tank, and I just decided to help out a fellow Central American entrepreneur and buy his product. So I decided to get it, and when I got them, I found out how delicious these baked peanut puffs were, and I became hooked ever since. Go check them out at peanuff.com. That is P-N-U-F-F.com. P-N-U-F-F.com. And use my promo code, De La Roca, and you will get 10% off your order. I'm telling you guys, I cannot stop eating this great baked peanut puffs. Peanut Crunch. P-N-U-F-F.com. That is P-N-U-F-F.com. Promo code, De La Roca. I came to realize that I'm prejudiced to one thing. And actually, I was going to bring it up right now. And good thing about this. So I took Bluey to her vet. She needed to get some shots. And should be one more shot and she will be able to go out. And then so I took it was my son, Bluey, and I. We went to the vet. And my girl was at work. And we went to the vet. And she was very... Bluey was like... lovely, lovely to every single girl. And my neighbor, she is a vet. And so I remember talking to my girl about how Bluey was nice to all the girls. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, wait, I went to the vet and I only saw girls. And I'm like, that's weird. So I text my neighbor and I asked her, I'm like, hey, I only saw girls. How many boys work at where you work, because she works at a big hospital. She's like 26 girls and 4 boys.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, so this is like teachers, right? Like, you know, most teachers are girls. And let me ask you this, your nursery, are there all girls or is there boys?
It's like 90% all girls.
Okay, so my girl works at a nursery, preschool daycare type thing. And all girls, like literally all girls. There was one boy there. He looked creepy. And I was glad that my son was not there because I didn't want him changing my son's diapers. So now let me ask you this. You need a babysitter and a man shows up to your house. What do you do?
Check his credentials, man. See what vibe I get. Also, like,
don't be political. I'll close the fucking door and be like, bring me a girl, motherfuckers.
I totally get it, right? I understand it. I understand what you're getting at. I think it's really difficult, right? Because you always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. When it's your kids, the stakes are so high. But I mean, I just don't want to have babysitters at all, man. I just like, that's what my mum's for. That's what my in-laws are for. That's what, you know, anyone within the support network is kind of for. That's why they're so important. Because I think ultimately, like, I wouldn't just trust a rando, like, just coming in and going, hey, I'll look after your kid. Here are my references or whatever. I don't even know how that works. How does it even work? It's not really a thing in the UK. Because that's always the thing that we see on American TV as well, right? Like, you get the local, you know, 15 to 18 year old kid who needs the money to like look after your kid, right?
I guess so. Well, that's for rich people. I'm with you. I'm like, I will never pay for a babysitter. I'm like, that's what my mom is, my brother, my in-laws, I will not go to the audition if I didn't have to, which I actually, that's what happened this week because I couldn't find anybody. That's part of being, you know, a dad. And but I realized, like, you know, call me whatever you want to call me, but no, like, even when my girl, but I guess that guy was kind of creepy, man. Like, I was like, why is he working there? Even though his wife worked with him at the nursery, I was still like, I was like, nah, you look, let me put it this way. I would never, ever, ever apply for a job at a nursery to take care of kids. It would be bad, you know, publicity for that poor nursery. If I come out and open the door, imagine, like, you come to the nursery, like, you, Andy Griffiths, come to the nursery.
Yep.
Drop off your son, and I open the door and say, welcome. You're going to be like, oh, sorry, I had the... Wait, am I in the right place? This is,
mate,
not the supermarket.
I'd be totally okay with it, because...
No, you're not. Don't be...
Yeah, I totally would be, because when it's like... When it's 9:30 on a Monday and you've got a places to be and you're in, you know, you're in the same building that he always goes to, I'm just gonna go, yeah, I'm sure he's CRB checked and he's totally legit. Yeah, he's a bit shorter than they usually are. That's okay. Like, you know, like, it's fine. It's fine. Because I think that's the other thing, right? Like, it's this is the other thing with babysitters, right? Which is you are either dropping them off at their house, which you wouldn't do. Right? Or they're coming into your house and looking after the kid. So I just, yeah. I think until they're the age of, like, probably never. That's never going to happen. I'm never going to do that. Ever, ever, ever. Never, ever. It's creepy. Don't like it. So it's not even a gender-based thing for me. It's just a, you know, like, you'd have to interview them and talk to them. And, like, that's way too much work. Like, just, yeah. If you got a support network nearby, use those guys, 100%.
Talking about support network, you want to say a shout out to somebody?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Massive shout out to my father-in-law, Kevin, who is basically, he's ill at the moment. He's getting better. So massive shout out to him. Yeah.
The man and only, I still want to have a beer one day with him. It's funny because I was talking to you about your family network, because so the reason I wanted to talk about relationships is because we are hitting a milestone with my girl and I. Pretty soon we're going to be together for 10 years. 10 years. I don't know how she did it at the beginning. I don't know why she did it at the beginning. But we've been 10 years strong, and we were thinking of celebrating big, and, you know, because I told my brother, 10 years is 10 years, man. I want to celebrate. I don't want to just go to New York for 3 days. You know, I want to go big, right? And then we had to, you know, we're responsible parents. So I needed to take care of whoever is going to take care of my son and now Bluey and take off work. And so it's a lot of hurdles to you know, jump. So we're one of the places we're thinking of going is Ireland. So Ireland, and so I am looking at a person who has red hair and his last name is Griffiths. So I'm pretty sure either him, his wife, or his network has any recommendations if we go to Ireland. So if the Griffiths or Murphys, is it Murphys?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean,
did you just tweak that? No way.
No, I just realized. I just like, yeah, I know, but come on. All right, Griffiths, it's Murphys, fun. Your last name is Irish. So hit me up with places to go, what to do, what to eat. And so I need advice from the two networks that I know that have literally Irish in them. And my son's name is Irish. And I love Irish culture, so we may go, you know, one day that I'm not going to share with you guys. And so just hit me up with recommendations, or if you know somebody over there, hit me up. Or, you know, I'm dying to try that non-alcoholic Guinness beer and things like that. So I don't know. What do you recommend? What do you think? How long you been with? You've been way long, right? You've been like 50 years or something. With your,
how old am I? I'm
wife?
36, and I've been with my wife since I was 21, 22. Yeah, so 15 years, I think, ish. We don't really know. That's why we got married, man, to reset the clock about 4 years ago, I think it was. So yeah, it's a long time. Ireland's an amazing place to go. It's brilliant. Dublin's lovely. Loads of amazing places to eat. They got the Guinness factory. That's cool. If you want to partake in a bit of history, there's lots of prisons that you can. It's like a prison that you can tour,
okay.
Which showcases basically Britain's tyrannical rule over Ireland at the turn of the century. That led to the Sunday Bloody Sunday riots. So if you know, it's not exactly romantic, but it is historical. They've also got a big palace there as well. Lots of culture, lots of history. And the Guinness factory. I think I mentioned that, but the Guinness factory is really cool. So I went there. I think I went there for my wife's 21st birthday, I think. Or maybe it was 24th or something like that. And we went for a couple of days. My memory sounds way worse than it is in real life on this podcast, I swear to Christ. It was amazing. We went for 2 nights. They do like a river cruise thing as well. Or not a river cruise. Like you go on the river boat and it goes through. There's a river in Dublin. My other recommendation would be get a car. Because if you're going to go for like a week, rent a car, drive around. Just outside of Dublin, there's loads of cool places that's like proper, like, you know, stereotypical Dublin. So like if you watch, Biden did like a tour of Dublin because he's got some Irish heritage in him or something, and he went to like the arse end of nowhere places in Ireland, where like there's literally like a pub and 4 houses and they call that a village. It's worth experiencing that because it's cool and it's different, everyone is usually lovely that you meet in Dublin. They're up for the crack and they're up for a laugh. So
I know the first thing I gotta say is that I'm not American. I'm from Guatemala, and that's it. And then of course say that I don't like British people.
Yeah,
but I
100%
do. I do, don't worry about it. But you know what? I actually want to do that. I really want to go see. I want to stop in the middle of a sea of green and see a castle. And if I just do that and then, you know, a drunk man passes by, then I'll be like, I'm done. I did it. Let's go back to racist America. I'm kidding. No, it's true. You know, that's what I want to do. But now let me ask you this, because we're going to be, if we go, because I'm looking at the flights, we'll get there like super early. Is there a traditional Irish breakfast?
It's definitely Guinness. I bet you there is. There's a mate of mine, Danny, who's from Cork. I have a chat to him and ask him what is the traditional thing.
That's actually number two city to go to, besides Dublin.
It is. Kirk. So Cork's actually quite big and it's getting bigger. But it's a cool... There's loads of cool places to go in Ireland. And I think it's basically... They do like full English and stuff like that. I'm sure they've got their own like little take on it. But yeah, there's a lot of drinking alcohol, but that's why you should just get the zero stuff and then you'll be fine.
And the reason we're thinking of it is because it's kind of cheap. So I was telling Andy that I was going to, I was thinking of going and visit him. And then let's just say like it's almost twice as much to go to England than to go to Ireland. Our other destination is Cancun. It's kind of cheap to go there. I was thinking of Guatemala, but there were like 10 people telling me no. So, okay, there you go. I was thinking of Italy, but it's kind of expensive. It's cheaper than going to Britain. So it's the cheapest one will be Cancun to fly. Then will be Ireland. Then will be Italy. Then will be Germany. And the most expensive one is the United Kingdom, Britain, whatever you call it. And then I was even thinking of going to Ireland and then going to visit Andy and then coming back. And no, because it's like if I wanted to book 1-way trip to Ireland, it was going to be super cheap. But if I want to come back from Britain to the United States, it was like 4 times like 2,300 pounds. I was like, 1 way, are you? So yeah, if I go to Ireland, you should stop by, but we'll talk about that later. But I don't know. Have you guys gone somewhere to celebrate? I don't know. Any anniversary? Or did you forget?
So we're not massively romantic, to be honest.
Good. Neither am I. But I think 10 years is something, right?
10 years is something to celebrate. 10 years is like, you should do it. I think the only reason why me and my wife don't celebrate that stuff is just because we are... You need one romantic person, but you also need that one romantic person to be like good with dates. Otherwise, you'll just be like, oh shit, 2 months ago was our 15-year anniversary. Did you know that? No. That's cool. Do you want to do anything? Yeah, we should definitely do something. We'll think about it later. That's what happens, right? So you should definitely do something. I think Ireland is an amazing adventure. That would be awesome to do. The fact that it's cheap is really good. There are some things like with COVID tests that you might need to take into account. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember what we did. I can't remember what anniversary stuff we've done. We've definitely gone to like places that are local. So we've gone to like, and I think we went to Arundel Castle. That was an anniversary thing we did once. That's really cool. That's like a big castle. That's cool. Only down the road.
So you guys haven't gone to like Italy or, you know, France, all that, you know.
No, we haven't really done like traveling like that. No. Which we should. That would be cool. That would have been really cool to do that before we had kids. We did go to we went on holiday. We've been places. Like we went to Japan and we did a massive a week holiday there. That was awesome. Or maybe 10 days. That was like a few years ago. We went to the Vancouver or the Winter Olympics in Canada.
Oh, that's
what was cool. That 2008. That was really, really cool. We did Canada. Then we did Canada, Quebec. We did Quebec, Vancouver, and what is it? There was another place we went. Can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. So yeah, we've done big holidays, but we tend to not do like for anniversary stuff. We'll like go to London and go see a show or something like that. Yeah. That tends to be the stuff that we do.
Yeah, so my brother said that Ireland, he actually, for their like anniversary, my brother's 15 years older, they took, I think, 2 weeks, and I went and took care of my nephew and my niece, and then they did the whole like Europe thing in 2 weeks. They went to Ireland, wow. London, Germany, France, Italy in 2 weeks, and they said that, yeah, like London was the most expensive thing that they did, and it was just it hurt him just to see how much he was paying for simple things. And I don't know, you're the local. Should I ever go to London then?
London is amazing, but it is, you know, I think before we started recording today, we talked about New York a little bit, right? Ugh. London is basically not New York. It's super expensive. Everyone's on top of each other. But there's loads of amazing things to do there that you can't do anywhere else. So there is obviously an argument, which is like, hey, you're in Ireland. You're going over there for a few days or 5 days, whatever it is. You've got enough time to zip over to London and do some things. But ultimately, you know, that's a whole nother day of traveling. You know, there's certain things in London that are amazing to do, like seeing the Buckingham Palace, walking around Westminster, Tower of London, like all the touristy stuff is amazing. And as I've grown up here, I totally don't respect it because I've grown up with it. So, you know, but it is amazing and it is utterly unique. I think London is super expensive. A lot of that is to do with the exchange rate with the pound. The pound is very, very strong. And, you know, London's just expensive, just it is, you know, like £5 for a beer, which would be what, you know, $8 or something for a beer, something like that. So
that's normal here.
Yeah, it's, but you're used to LA prices, right? So that's probably why it seems okay. But yeah, I mean, London is amazing. London's a great place to go once. But, you know, I would say you almost want to do the UK in a different... We're still dealing with the Brexit stuff. Like, there's petrol shortages over here. There aren't petrol shortages. We're still in the midst of COVID. So I think you really want to go... You kind of want to go to a place and just, like, anchor yourself down for a bit and just chill.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going...
Dublin's a good place for that.
What's up, guys? Jose de la Roca here, and I'm happy to announce that I have partnered up with Live Bearded to share with you all the amazing products that make my beard feel and look this good. So go check them out online at livebearded.com and use my promo code de la Roca to get 10% off your order. Go check those guys out because they're amazing bearded guys just like I am, and they only have one mission: for the beard men to look, feel, and be their best. So go check them out online at livebearded.com and use my promo code de la Roca to get 10% off your order. That is de la Roca, DELARROCA. We're not going anytime soon. I was just throwing it out there to see what anybody, if anybody has any suggestions about anything, you could hit me up. Hello@josedelaroca.com. Hello@josedelaroca.com. Going to cheapest to expensive will be Cancun. There will be Ireland, then Italy, Germany, and we'll go say hi to Andy and stay at his house. And that will be. But yeah, I mean, look. I was not the best when I met my girl. When I met her, I was at my worst. Like, literally, like, the year I met her was like the year that my worst years were, you know, like 2011, 12, and 13. If you met me those years, it's just, I'm sorry, right? Like, literally, you know, it was not the best of me. I was just an alcoholic dick. I never did something outrageous or something that would go to jail, but, you know, just a drunken mess. She stood around. I don't know why. And now that I'm, like, the best of the best and trying to be the best, then, you know, I have a bright future, you know. That's why I always, you know, tell everybody that if she was with me through the worst, she will be with me through the best. And it was actually my idea to celebrate this big, because I think it's a big celebration. It's 10 years of us being together, forming a beautiful family. She's the best. She makes me better. I make her better in so many ways that none of you guys' business. we have a wonderful, beautiful, funny little man that is just a happy ball. I'm excited to have a life with her. So I wanted to, you know, just celebrate it in a way that, you know, 3 days in fucking New York, it was not enough for me. So that's basically it. I mean, you know, what do you think 10 years, you know, means? I mean, you've been 15 years, right? I mean, it's just amazing thing, right?
It's amazing. You just have so much history. A thing that me and my wife always have is, like, something will happen and we'll respond in exactly the same way. So, like, we'll say the same thing, refer to the same old joke. it's great. It feels like a warm hug every single day. Like, when you're just with that person, it just feels amazing. So I think it's important to celebrate that stuff. It's rare. Doesn't always come across, you know, and you don't get that again. 15 years is a massive amount of time. Like, 10 years is a massive amount of time, you know. Like, some people never have relationships that are longer than 5 years their whole life. So 10 years is amazing. So you need to celebrate it.
Let me ask you this, because this is the way I see how important and nice it is. So my niece, which I love, and my niece and my nephew literally are my kids, and they saved my life when they didn't know they were saving my life. I will say it's not a, you know, they were there when I needed, you know, little kids, I guess, or something to do. I raised them. I helped them be raised. They are literally my kids. But my niece, her whole life, she known my girl, right? So it's like, even though she says she remembers when she was like two, which I think is bullshit. But, you know, so, I mean, do you have like a niece or a nephew that is literally 15 years and doesn't know you without your wife?
My niece is around about six. But I have, that's on my wife's side. But yeah, I totally, on my side, there's there's bloody millions of us. So yeah, there's definitely is a few that are like that age bracket. And one of them is like 21, 22. And he's never known me not to be with my wife. So, you know, it's just amazing. I think it's again, I know we said support network so many times in this podcast, but having someone there who's got your back all the time or is there to call you out on your shit, to kind of kick you in the balls when you need it, is totally amazing. So yeah, I think it's only better. You're 100% a team. Like, I can't imagine doing any of this parenting stuff without my wife. I can't imagine existing at this point. You know, like, once you're with someone that long, you kind of become almost the same person. But it's a nice thing. It's not a bad thing. Yeah.
I like how you save yourself now, because first you were like, oh, I never take her anywhere. And now you're like, I couldn't imagine my life without her. I was like, ah, there you go. I don't think she listens. I don't think our girls listen. So
They don't. Well, mine doesn't. But I think it's so easy to just get stuck in your like grumpy dad ways. I don't know if you have this as well.
Ugh,
like there are days when I'm just like, really? Like, why can't you pick yourself up or do whatever? Why can't you, you know, do you really have to poo in your pants? Can't you just, and this isn't my wife, this is my kid. Why can't you just sort it out? But then something will happen and makes me feel super appreciative. So I think I always start off with the whole, we've been together, it's fine. Super flippant. But once I actually take the time to think about it, I then reflect and go, yeah, actually this is fucking amazing. So yeah, it's an amazing journey. And I think that's why it's super important to look at photos and look at videos and see how far you've come. Because it's really easy to just, you know, just take every day, plod along and not take all that stuff into account. And that's why celebrating 10 years is a really good thing to do. Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to start selling t-shirts that says Dad Without Dad, so you guys could sponsor our vacation. There you go. In a lighter note, the Hairless Dog Brewing Company have decided to end the brand ambassador program. So first, I want to say thanks to everybody who bought Hairless Dog with my code. You will not be able to use my code starting October 1st. The company not only went through like a shortage of everything, just like everybody here in the United States, there's still a shortage of everything. So they had to shut down the company for a couple of weeks, and then they had to do their product in a different location. So they were struggling to get product out, and now they're focusing in different things. So they're ending the program. So there's no more De La Roca code. So first, I want to say thanks to everybody who bought, you know, Hairless Dog Brewing Company beer with my code. You could still buy it if you like it. You know, it's just, you know, they're still there. They're just moving on and doing different things. I cannot say anything bad. They treated me always good. I still like the beer. It was literally not fake. I drank the beer. I still do. I just went to BevMo, try a couple other ones. And I bought a Hairless Dog, Samuel Adams, their non-alcoholic one. It's amazing. Samuel Adams' non-alcoholic beer was amazing. I just went to BevMo and bought a couple of them. And these other ones that I didn't like. But Samuel Adams was amazing too. I bought some Hairless Dog. Their IPA is still good. So just want to say thanks to Hairless Dog for being, you know, part of the show. And they're still my friends. I still have their friendship, and I still in contact with the owners and everything, so shout outs to them. But the code will not be available anymore.
They came on the podcast as well like 50 episodes ago, right? Something like that.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, it was one of the best episodes and you were not in it.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break beat.
Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. Repeat to the sound of the beat.
Starring in P1, here is Andy with Andy's jokes, all the way from England in the Mercedes car. Oh no, you're more McLaren. But anyways, I don't know if you guys know, but we have a little segment called Andy's Jokes. And the way it works is that Andy tells a joke. I saved it right there. And it's up to you to decide whether Andy's jokes are good or bad. And you could do so by sending us an email. Hello@josedelaroca.com. Hello@josedelaroca.com. Story number one, P1. Radio check. I don't hear the driver. Hold on. Radio check.
Brum.
No, don't the driver say
check? Oh, yeah. They do like read you loud and clear or something.
Okay.
I don't think they say brum when they drive around. I mean, I don't know. I that's what I would do. But I don't think that's what they do.
On P1, we're talking about F1 racing, by the way. Anyways, on P1, here's Andy with Andy's jokes.
I didn't get a joke this week, and it's not going to feel funny because Jose just basically did like 4 jokes that were really hilarious before we got there. So, one joke this week. Jose, did you hear about the mathematician who's afraid of negative numbers?
No, I didn't.
He'll stop at nothing to avoid them.
Brum, brum. Brum, brum. Mic check. Brum, 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 brum.
Because nothing is also another word for zero. So if he when he gets to a negative number, he stops. So it's a bit intellectual, that joke, to be honest. It's probably I should have gone with my other one. Do you want to hear my other one? I do have 2. I could do a second one.
You know what's funny though? Like, you always do one joke, but you always come here and say, only one joke this week. And I'm always like, when does he ever have 2 jokes? Hold on.
I'll save it.
Good thing this is not a sponsor. Oh, it is. Sponsored by Sober Industries. Sober Industries, the leading provider of clown customs in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Talking about racing. All right, so I'm hooked into F1. What is it, the race?
Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive. I don't know why, but I started watching it. I think I started watching it because of, I'm like, you. Again, I want to say that F1 is big in Guatemala and I think around the world. And I started watching it. I love it. And I keep watching it at night or whenever I have free time, which is almost never. Or I'm in the bike exercising or here and there. But I love that shit, man. I'm almost done with season 3. They're racing 2020. So I know that I'm at the point where... the Spaniard guy, Franz Hans, or whatever his name, is going to be racing for Ferrari.
Carlos Sainz, yeah.
Sainz. Yeah. The Haas people already fired everybody, and they're going to have... what's his name? The German guy? His son? I should know it.
Mick Schumacher.
Schumacher's son is going to be driving Haas with this other rookie. And so I'm at that point. You know, they already said that your boys, you know, he already won 2020, and, you know, they're showing how, like, what is it, Bottas? He's, like, always number 2, poor guy. But I don't know. How is racing going on right now?
It's really, really exciting. It's really hard talking to you about it, man, because, like, I'm basically giving you spoilers for season 4.
I don't care.
Do you know what I mean? So obviously there was a race today at Russia. It was an amazing race. The top 10 positions changed in the last 4 laps because it rained. That was super, super cool. So on Drive to Survive, on the Haas bit, have they gotten to Grosjean's crash at Abu Dhabi yet?
No.
Okay, cool. All right. They'll probably show that in the final episode then, I would reckon.
He died.
So yeah. What's that?
He died?
No, he's okay. Oh, okay. He's okay. He's okay. But it's like, it's one of the most iconic sporting scenes from last year, easy peasy. For the wrong reasons, but also the right reasons. It's kind of, it's inspirational, I would say. So yeah, Formula One is always interesting. It's getting more interesting. The rivalry between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton is really dialing up. You know, it's usually in Formula One, one team is the best, one driver is the best, and kind of, you know, once like halfway through the season, who's going to win it. You don't know that at all this season. And Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton keep crashing into each other when they meet on the track, which makes it even more dramatic. So yeah, it is a great time to start watching races for real and not glorified highlights packages, which is what Drive to Survive kind of is. But they also showcase, like, you know, the stories behind the stories. So, you know, and the people behind the stories, which is really cool. So yeah, I would, the next race is on midway through October. It is at Turkey, so it's Istanbul. Try and tune into that if you can, because it should be really, really fun. I don't know if you get it. It's on Fox Sports over there, right?
Well, I don't have cable at all, so.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can tune Twitch. Tune into Twitch on a race day. Type in Formula One. There will always be some numbnuts basically with a controller, like, showing it. And just taking the piss. So yeah, there's that way. There's also, if you go on the Formula One subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/Formula One, there are people that showcase clips, pretty much not in real time, but they will show you what's happening. So yeah, it's cool.
All right, so
good time to be a Formula One fan.
So for those who don't like Formula One or don't care, or they're just saying they're tuned off, or they're saying, why is this brown guy talking about that and that Irish British guy talking about this? Sorry, okay, fine.
It's more Welsh, but it's fine.
You know what surprises me? I mean, and you had to enlighten me in this, because I like it, but I don't get it. So after watching all this, you know, footage and stories, and remember watching it when I was little and things like that, there's no other sport that celebrates coming number 9 as much as Formula One. So let's put it this way. There's, for what I think, and then Andy's going to enlighten us with everything. So what I think, or what I know, or what I've seen, there's 20 cars racing. It's 10 teams with 2 drivers. And I guess they want points, and whoever has the most points at the end of the season wins the whole thing, depending on the driver. And Hamilton, which has been winning for the past 6-7 years, drives for Mercedes, and Mercedes is always 1 and 2, racers. And but now, after watching all this stuff and all these things, it still amazes me. It makes me happy to see these big drivers, these big people with a lot of money, with a lot of things, celebrating coming into number 9 or number 8th place. They celebrate like they just won the whole fucking thing. And coming into 3rd place, some people, it's like they literally say, this is the best day of my life.
Yeah.
All right. Explain this to me.
So, you know, in, there's a football analogy here, right? Which is Barcelona in Spain. Barcelona are the best with Real Madrid. But if you're a team like, I don't know, Real Valladolid or Sociedad or whatever, and you end up beating Barcelona, that's an amazing thing, because Barcelona have loads of resources, massive fandom, and here you've got a tiny team taking on a juggernaut and kind of winning. So that's kind of what's happening in Formula One as well. So Formula One awards points from 1st to 10th. And points literally translates directly into money for next season. So you will have teams, because it's a technology sport, you will have teams that will never break into the top 10, because they're just not good enough. or they don't have the same budget, or they don't have the good enough drivers, or they don't have good enough technical people in behind the scenes designing the car. So when you get these teams that are, you know, in your last season of Drive to Survive, that would probably be a Williams, right? They're just at the back. They're always backmarkers. They never do anything. But there are certain races of the season. There's certain times where it's raining, or the track particularly suits their car, or there's a load of accidents in front of them where they can kind of buck the trend. And rather than finishing 18th or 19th or 20th, they can somehow find themselves on 10th or 9th. So way that the points works is because it goes all the way down to 10. If you're a team that's like always, then there's usually two or three teams that are always at the back. If you manage to get a couple of points, you can finish, rather than being the 10th team, you can finish the 7th team, right? And that's worth more prize money to you at the end of the season. There's an infamous race, Monaco in, God, it must have been 2016, I think it was, or 2017, which is a Monaco race with a racer called Jules Bianchi, who sadly died a season after that in Japan. And he was racing for a team called, God, I want to say Team Midland, but I don't think it was them. They were a team that was always at the back, and they were at the back by like multiple, a second a lap. They were the slowest, right, compared to any other team. And this guy somehow at Monaco gets them up to 10th and manages to score them a single point. Now, that single point takes them from earning nothing for competing in the season that year to suddenly getting 20 million quid or 50 million quid to spend on next year's car. So it's huge, absolutely huge. The things what's always important to remember in Formula One is like, is that the amount of money you need to even get to the grid is like 100 million. It's a crazy amount of money. So, and these guys do it for, the guys at the back do it for the love. They don't do it for the profit, because you don't really turn a profit when you're a Formula One team. You just don't. That's why, you know, you get manufacturers getting involved, like Mercedes, like Ferrari, like Renault, because the likelihood of you making any money is really, really small. So that's why finishing ninth is a massive deal, because you can get points out of that, and points directly goes into money. And also, the other thing is, if you're driving for a Williams or a Midland or a Haas, you know, that's not where you want to be, right? You want to be driving for McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull. And they know that if they excel driving for these minnow teams, they'll get a chance to go to a bigger team and perform well. And obviously drivers are egomaniacs. You have to be an egomaniac to be a driver, because you are literally risking your life every single time you get in the car. And it's only crazy people that do that. I hope that helps. I know it's a bit of a rambling thing, but I hope that that helps kind of shine some light on it.
No, it does. I mean, 1.20 million. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about Williams leaving? Because I already saw that. Did they come back?
Yes. So it was Frank Williams. You know, he is the guy that literally did it for the love. And his daughter Claire and his son as well. Obviously, they left like, you know, last year, but they still leave an indelible mark on the sport. And I, ever since I was growing up, you know, I think the first season I actually remember was 1994, I think it was, with Damon Hill at Williams, and Nigel Mansell. Like, their lineage goes way, way, way back to like 70s. So, yeah, I think everything moves on. Williams haven't been a good Formula One team for, you know, literally over a decade at this point. So, you know, and they're starting to come back into form. You know, again, spoilers for next season, Jose, but like, George Russell ends up doing really well this season, and blowing people's expectations out of the water. So, you know, and I think he's, you know, he was covered in that episode a lot. I haven't seen it, but I would imagine he was covered a lot. The Williams episode. No, not at all. Ah, that sucks. He's a really good driver, like George Russell.
Yeah, they left. I don't know if they came back. Okay, so my last question, everybody knows Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren. Why is Red Bull big? Why is Red Bull big?
So they have a shitload of money.
No, but I mean, like, why shouldn't be Aston Martin? Do you see what I'm saying? So F1?
Yeah.
If you say F1 is equal to Ferrari, yes. F1 is equal to Mercedes, yes. F1 equals Red Bull, what?
I think, so Red Bull do loads for the sport. It's weird. So they came into, I mean, they've had some investments in motorsports, like going back to the late 90s. But they've invested tons of money in the sport for like the past, you know, past 15 years, past 16 years, 17 years. They got a massive junior development program. Like, so much so that if you go to your local racing track and the local junior championship there, you can bet your bottom dollar there's a guy in a Red Bull uniform or a Red Bull helmet or something like that. And he's gotten money from the Red Bull driver program at some point. So I don't know why Red Bull do it. I think it's a little bit like the Coke thing, right? So, you know, Coca-Cola, they spend like billions on advertising every year, but everyone knows what Coca-Cola is. Like, yeah. They're not doing it because they think that, oh, that guy never had a Coca-Cola, I'm going to reach it. They do it just to like to stay in the public consciousness. You know, that's why they sponsor World Cups and things like that. And I think for Red Bull, it's the same thing. They always want to feel like an extreme brand as well. A little bit like Monster Energy. That. They always want to be seen like, yeah, we're the cool guys. And having a Formula One team is like that, oddly, which is weird because if you look at the demographics of people that like Formula One, it's mostly male, but it's mostly aging as well, right? Like, it's not like, you know, 18 to 30 year olds. It's older than that typically. So yeah, I don't know why they do. I really, really don't. But you know, they have done. They've made a massive mark on the sport. They constantly ruffle people's feathers by saying stupid things, sometimes accurate things in the media. So yeah, it's weird. They're definitely, you're right though, they're definitely not the top team that you talk about in Formula One, which is weird because if you look at their history, you know, they've won shitloads of world championships, shitloads of team championships. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it. I get the Aston Martin, I get the Ferrari, I get the McLaren, I get, you know what I mean? Like, even Honda. But then yeah. you say Red Bull, and everybody makes it seem like it's number two, which they are, but I still don't get it. Anyways, well, thanks for the clarification. And I don't know. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's really good storytelling. Is Alarcón still there? Come on. Give it to me.
Is who there?
What is his name? Alarcón? Alcon? The Red Bull guy?
Oh, Ocon.
Yeah.
No, it's not Albon. You're thinking of Albon.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So Alex Albon is amazing. He is driving for Williams next year. He was the...
Oh, you gave me two spoilers.
Yeah, I did. He was Red Bull development driver this year. So yeah, he did get kicked out last year, which sucks because he's awesome. He's a great driver as well. It's just that Red Bull they're so team Max Verstappen that, you know, even if you get a driver in there that's super, super talented, like a guy like Sergio Perez, they still don't perform massively well. So yeah, there's another spoiler there for you as well.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, did they bring the French guy back? I guess not.
No. Which is crazy because he's awesome. But yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't do that.
Well, before we go, any last thoughts, comments, shout outs, hellos, whatever?
I'm going to do some research on Ireland. That's going to be fun. Yeah, just a massive shout out to my wife, friends, family, and yeah, to everyone that listens to the podcast. Really, really appreciate it.
I want to give a big shout out to Andy for always stopping by, to all his family. Shout out to your father-in-law. Hope he gets better because one day we'll have a beer one day. So hope you're doing well. Want to give a big shout out to whoever listens. You guys are the reason why we make this. I hope we either made you laugh, made you cry, or made you say, huh, what is Jose talking about? Like, literally, we cannot understand what he's saying. anyways, I want to say a big shout out to, you know, my lovely girl and my lovely family, and all the support that we get from you guys. Thanks for always, you know, supporting this podcast, whether it's using my code or just, you know, sending us a quick shout out or following us on social media or just, you know, sharing this wonderful podcast with anybody. Well, I think that's pretty much it today. And until next time, my name is Jose, Jose de la Roca. You have been listening to Dad Without a Dad. Until next time, goodbye. You're not going to say watermelon sugar.
I was singing it in my head.
That's actually a good song.